Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Warmly, joined on this Thursday morning by Andrew Erickson and by Derek Brown. Fellas, we're talking must-start players here in Week 10. We are already into the double-digit weeks. It is nuts. Let's dive right in here, starting with the running backs, as always. Debra, we will start with you. Who is your top must-start running back of Week 10? Starts.
My man's squeeze, my dude. Javon Warren, baby. Been a top 24 running back in more weeks than I can count on one hand. Yeah, it's true. Go check the numbers. This man has just been a monster in efficiency all season. He's fifth in explosive run rate, first in missed tackles forced per attempt. You've seen the film, you've seen the highlights. He's amazing, man. And this week, he gets another fantastic matchup. The Green Bay Packers can't stop anybody on the ground. 11th most fantasy points per game allowed to running backs, 8th most rushing yards allowed per game. Javon Warren, I understand he's probably only going to get somewhere between 12 and 15 touches in this game. Doesn't matter. He's going to explode. He's going to be awesome. Top 24 running back. Book it.
Are you expecting this to be his best game of the season, going out on a limb?
Ooh, sure.
Giving you the chance to be bold.
Let's go with that.
Last week was his best game so far with the 11 for 88.
Let's go bold.
Three catches for 25.
He gets 100 rushing yards this week. Let's go.
Big time. Love to hear it. Where are you at on Jalen Warren, Erickson?
I mean, it's just a matter of, are they going to lean more into him and not Najee Harris? Like, that's ultimately like what's kind of hindering his ceiling. And if they use Najee in the red zone, then that obviously hurts Warren, but it's hard to argue with how they've looked, and the matchup is obviously good. So yeah, I think Warren's a strong RB2 play this week.
I think Pittsburgh just leans into the ground game. I've got both him and Najee both as top 24 running backs this week.
Erickson, it sounds like you're not predicting that he's going to have his best game of the season in this one.
No, I'm not.
All right, that's fair. Erickson, give me your top must-start running back.
James Conner. James Conner looks like he's going to be back for the Arizona Cardinals this week. So obviously he has to play for you to play him in your fantasy lineup. But I think they're done with the Keontae Ingram, DeMarcado, like these guys. They're not going to go back to these other Cardinals running backs. Like, James Conner's back. I do not think it's going to be a snap count. I think it's going to be like the average role that we've had. And it actually could be his role plus, because if we recall when James Conner, before he got hurt, he was actually losing out on third down snaps to Amari DeMarcado. DeMarcado's still hurt. So if he's not giving up those third down snaps, like, you're looking at James Conner like 80%, 85% snap share in a really good matchup against the Falcons. Look, Falcons defense on the year looks good against the run, but the last 2 weeks, no Grady Jarrett. What's been the result? Nearly 100 rushing yards per game. So I think James Conner is a top 20 running back if he plays this week, and I think that you should feel confident taking him off your IR spot, taking him off the bench, putting him in your lineup even after he's missed so much time.
Debro, how aggressively are you going to rank Conner in his first game back?
If he is back, yeah, I think this is his backfield. I'm going to put him as a top 24 running back for the week.
He's at, let's see, an ECR.
I've got him right outside of it. I got him at RB28 just because I'm waiting on news and stuff. So,
oh yeah, he's down at RB43 in ECR, but that's because people are still, some folks have not ranked him
yet. Once we get the updates,
he'll be there.
Projections have him at RB21, like for like reference. Like if he's in his regular role, like he should be top 24 running back.
He should be a top 24 running back. Agreed.
All right, Debra, give me your next must start guy.
It's got to be Tyler Algier. Looking at the matchup, and we know what Arthur wants to do with the backfield. He wants to give touches. We got a 6-minute-plus soliloquy about this yesterday, where he basically pandered, sounded like a pseudo-politician, didn't want to answer the question when he was given the question. Could have been a really short, easy answer. Yes, Bijan Robinson is very good. I will give him the ball, I promise. I want to affect change. And he didn't do that. He just kept pandering and talking about, well, Tyler Algier has a set of skills and we need to use those skills and blah, 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 blah. So Tyler Algier needs to be started in lineups because the Atlanta Falcons are going to use him. This matchup is fantastic. Third most fantasy points per game allowed to running back, 6th most rushing yards per game. So Tyler Algier, probably 12 to 15 touches and maybe scores this week.
He is RB29 in half PPR. Is that too high, too low, just right?
It's it's just right, because I think that there also is an avenue for Bijan Robinson to fully take over this week, or just a crush. So I've got Bijan ranked aggressively. I've got Tyler Allgeier in the same ilk. He's RB30 for me, but I think you can make a case anywhere for him, RB24, 25-ish into the 30s.
I certainly hope you're right about Bijan, but you are a lot more optimistic than I am about the possibility of him taking over the backfield.
Man,
I just don't know what
I got hope.
We've seen that would make
hope,
you think
okay?
he would do that.
I got hope.
It might be blind faith, but I
mean,
admire
at this point,
your...
it kind of is. But I mean, I'm willing to just keep the blindfold on at this point, because I can't look at Arthur Smith anymore.
Why would we ever trust Arthur Smith to do the right thing at this point?
Never.
We wouldn't. Is the
Never.
Answer. There are always fun questions around the NFL this time of year, like who are the pretenders, who are the contenders. We're now more than halfway through the NFL season, but DraftKings Sportsbook is still pumping out unbeatable offers every single game. New customers can bet just $5 on anything to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. And DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every game day this November. The Week 10 slate doesn't look amazing, but there are still 9 games with an early spread of 3.5 points or less on DraftKings. So there should be tons of close finishes this week. Plus, I cannot wait to watch CJ Stroud and Joe Burrow go head-to-head in Cincy in my favorite game of the week, even though the Bengals are laying a touchdown against the Texans. I think that's going to be an awesome game. However you guys plan to bet that one, get in on the football action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the app now and use code FANTASYPROS. New customers can bet just $5 on anything to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code FANTASYPROS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, Louisiana. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Erickson, give me your next must-start running back.
Rashad White, he's heating up, baby. He was just fine all year long, but finally the snaps, the touches, finally turned into production. So as someone that is heavily in the Rashad White streets, I'm very happy to see what we've seen play out over the last couple weeks. And I think that a lot of it's related to the receiving role. His receiving usage has really picked up. So again, not the most efficient rusher, but he's starting to find the end zone a little bit more here and there. The Buccaneers are a team that was going to regress in terms of their pass touchdown rate versus their rush touchdown rate. Like, to start the year, they were only scoring touchdowns through the air. So again, those things don't necessarily last. So we saw last week Rashad White score twice. Not saying he's going to score twice again, but looking at the Titans' run defense, you know, usually it's a matchup you want to shy away from. Last 2 weeks, they've allowed 257 rushing yards. Najee Harris was competent against this Titans' run defense. So if Najee Harris...
That's top 15 running back Najee Harris to
Najee
you, sir.
If Najee Harris can be a competent running back against a defense, anybody can be a competent running back against that same defense. So no one else is eating into White's snaps whatsoever. Sean Tucker, where are you? I was told that Sean Tucker was going to take over this backfield. Never saw him play. So after a slow start, I think that you got to be ranking. You have to feel really good about White. And I think that he's like a top 15 running back like rest of the season.
Do you like, what do you attribute the Titans defense, run defense kind of falling off to, if anything? Because you're right, this was a matchup that we were like desperately avoiding early on in the year. Is there anything that's changed in the last couple weeks?
I'd have to look closer to see if there's been an injury or anything like along those lines. But again, a lot of defensive stats are just based on the offenses that you play. So, you know, I could look and say, oh, well, the Titans haven't really played any good running backs. So, you know, maybe that's why they've been so elite against the run. You know, a team that's just been traditionally good against running backs, you know, but they've been exposed the last couple weeks against teams that want to run the football. And again, that's just, that's not the, okay, you're playing Rashad White because he's going to score a lot of rushing yards. Like, you're playing because he gets all the touches and he catches pass out of the backfield. So he's already offering you a decent floor, but the matchup I just want to like bring to people's attention, that's not as bad as you may look at it on the surface when you look at the total season numbers for the Titans.
Debro, hit me with your next must-start running back.
Oh, my next guy, and this is not a name that I've mentioned very much on this show. I don't know if I've even talked about him at all this year on this show, but Alexander Mattison. I'm going to bring him up because, again, we're talking about run defenses that have faltered in recent weeks. That is absolutely the New Orleans Saints. Over the last five games, they allowed the second highest explosive run rate, 10th highest yards to contact per attempt, and 14th highest yards per carry to zone runs. With Cam Akers out, I think this is Madison's backfield. I'm not worried about Ty Chandler because the Vikings weren't worried about Ty Chandler. Cam Akers came in via trade and took Ty Chandler's job. So what does that say about Ty Chandler? So do we think that he's going to overtake or even play the Cam Akers role in this backfield versus like now Alexander Mattison? So I think the Minnesota Vikings would be very smart to lean on their ground game, i.e. Alexander Mattison, stay away from that secondary this week and just feed him the ball. So 20 plus touches in line for Alexander Mattison. I think he scores this week. Top 24 running back. Let's go.
Erickson, I think Alexander Mattison is the guy you've most liked to talk about on our shows this whole season. So let me let you weigh in. Where do you have him this week?
I think he's a top 24 running back. Look, like I have to adjust my projections and forecasts when things change and Cam Akers is gone. So I mean, Mattison should be the guy there, should be the starting running back. Again, I don't think that he's the best running back in the NFL, and we'll see what Ty Chandler's role is if he has one at all. But based on what we've seen, the sample sizes, Mattison will do just enough. He gets passes out of the backfield. So I think that he's a fine start this week.
Erickson, let's stick with you. Who's your last must-start running back?
David Montgomery. He's playing the Chargers defense that has been really good against running backs in the last couple of weeks. It's weird because the Chargers have usually been a team we've picked on because of their bad run defense, but they've actually been very good and stout against the run this season. And there are question marks about, oh, well, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, like, they can't go back to David Montgomery. It's like, yes, they can. Dan Campbell loves David Montgomery. So, I mean, I have David Montgomery ranked higher than Jahmyr Gibbs this week. I'm not sure if that's like a hot take or if that's what the ECR has. But until I see Gibbs like unseat David Montgomery, then I'll adjust my rankings. But until that actually happens, I'm going to keep David Montgomery as my Lions RB1. If I had to sit one Lions running back, it would be Gibbs and not David Montgomery.
Debro, what are you expecting out of the split in this backfield?
It's funny because I have both them right there. They're next to each other in my rankings. And I do have Gibbs one spot ahead of Montgomery. I've got him RB15. Montgomery is RB16. I think if you're looking at touchdown expectations, Montgomery obviously has that. But I think if leaning into the matchup, I think that the Lions can go more pass heavy in this. We've seen them go more pass heavy over the last few weeks. So I think this could be more of a Gibbs game. I'm not going to say that it's going to be more of a split backfield. I think that just weekly moving forward with David Montgomery back, this is going to be a backfield that's dependent upon matchups and game script. And I just think the matchup leans itself more to the Chargers, allowing production to receiving back. So I'll take Gibbs just barely over Montgomery this week.
Let's jump into the Who Do I Start tool. This is free to use for anybody at fantasypros.com/start. Anybody can head there, put in their own starter sit questions, up to four players at a time. You can even pick and choose which experts your decision draws from. It can be Debro, it can be Erickson, it can be both, or it can be neither, as I let everybody know every week. Again, that is free to use at fantasypros.com/start. Debro, are you starting Jalen Warren or Jerome Ford this week?
Oof. I've got Jerome Ford one spot ahead of Warren, and it's just a volume play. I think you're looking at floor, it's Ford. If you go ceiling, it's Warren for me.
You're saying Jalen Warren's going to have his best game of the year, and you have Jerome Ford ranked over him? Are you serious?
Jerome Ford had, what, 25 touches last
He's
week?
Also
I mean, look,
the best
I'm forecasting things. I'm not insane.
Since, like, it started.
I'm not
Come
insane.
On.
Okay.
I have Jalen Warren over Jerome Ford. I don't think Jalen Warren's going to have his best game of the year. So something, there's a disconnect here, Debro.
Change my ranks. Let me go up.
I was going to try and be nice and let that slide. I was also surprised that was the answer we got, given how effusively praising Debro was of Jalen Warren.
Rushing all right. This year. Jerome
Peer
Ford,
pressured.
Jalen Warren. Jerome
peer
Ford.
Pressured.
Dead
peer
last
pressured.
In success
Jalen
rate.
Warren over Jerome Ford in my ranks. Peer,
thank
no
you.
Miss to the people. Peer pressured. Peer pressured.
For whatever it's worth, Jerome Ford, when he faced the Ravens in week four, finished RB30 in half PPR. So that's the mark he's trying
so
to
beat.
Not
his best game of the year, is what you're telling no. me. Just want to be clear. No.
Here we go. Here we go.
Thank you for jumping in there, Erickson. Like I said, I was trying to be nice, but I think that was called for. Debro, Alexander Mattison or Najee Harris, the other Steelers running back?
I'm going to go Mattison on this one.
All right. And how about Tyler Allgeier or Brian Robinson?
Oh, it's Allgeier by a mile. I want nothing to do with B-Rob this week. Erickson, you going to get on the Brian Robinson podium?
I know. I agree. Brian Robinson was a guy I don't like. I don't want to start him this week.
I'm just getting flamed by you. I was just expecting it to be coming. I didn't know.
Erickson, James Conner or Keaton Mitchell? I'm assuming you'll go with Conner.
Yeah. I just, again, you know, Keaton Mitchell, just don't know what his role is going to be. So, and if the matchup was better, I'm always going to take the touches.
Put the over for James Conner's snaps to be over 14 this week. So I think we're going to go with Conner.
How about David Montgomery or Javonte Williams?
This one, I'm going to go with Javonte. I mean, look, we saw such a massive workload for him before the bye week, and it's a great matchup against the Bills. Again, so I like Javonte.
They're back to back in ECR, but I'm with you. I think it's a clean sweep. I think we all like Javonte better. How about Rashad White or Jahmyr Gibbs?
Rashad White, he's a bell cow, and Gibbs is not.
Yeah. How about, and these guys are actually back to back in ECR, Rashad White or David Montgomery, two of your players?
I think I have Montgomery because, again, I like the touchdown equity with Montgomery more than White.
So all I heard is you don't like Rashad White as much this week than David Montgomery.
Well, no, I mean, I did have David Montgomery also as a start, so I'm allowed to have a start over another start player.
D-Rose is trying to get you back, Erickson, and he knows he can.
Well, it's because my rankings match my takes, so that's all I'm saying.
Oh, my Lord. Here we go.
He went there.
Here we go. All
right, D-Rose.
Well.
Give me your
gloves are off, baby.
Give me your top must-start wide receiver, D-Bro.
My guy's going to be Calvin Ridley. I'm going to have him ranked aggressively this week, and I understand people have been out on Calvin Ridley. I get it's been a bumpy and crazy ride. It's been a roller coaster, people. But this week, I think we're going to see a ceiling performance from Calvin Ridley. Since week 5, the 49ers have been giving up more production to wide receivers. They have been struggling versus the deep ball. They have also utilized single high coverage on 55% of their defensive snaps. Why does this matter? It's because Calvin Ridley is eaten versus single high this year. 25% target share, 46% air yard share. His yards per route run jumps above 2. He leads this team in deep targets. Calvin Ridley is going to have a top 24 wide receiver week. Let's go.
Erickson, how aggressively are you being on Ridley this week?
I think I'm wide receiver 2 range. I think he's a good start. This is a matchup where the Jaguars receivers should be able to take advantage. I mean, the 49ers are another one of these pass funnel defenses that teams just really like to throw against them. So there should be a lot of volume in this matchup for Calvin Ridley. And when he's gotten volume, he's usually delivered decent games this week.
Erickson, I got him at wide receiver 16. Is that okay or am I drunk?
I think that's fine. I mean, do you have him behind or ahead of Kirk? Is my follow-up.
I have him ahead of Kirk. Looking at the single high coverage, his target share has dropped to 16%. So I think we're going to see a wide margin favoring Calvin Ridley this week.
But you think that, I mean, I like both guys to start. I mean, you'd still start Kirk though, right?
Yeah, I still got the overall Kirk matchup. Kirk is still a top 24 wide receiver for me.
Okay.
All right, Erickson, who's your top must-start wide receiver?
DK Metcalf. Dude, the planets are aligning for Metcalf to go absolutely nuclear this week against the Washington Commanders. Who's on the injury report? Tyler Lockett and Jack Smith and Jigba. DK Metcalf. Look, everyone is complaining about Metcalf. They're like, Geno Smith, he can't play anymore. It's like, oh yeah, well, you know what happens when you play the Ravens and Browns in back-to-back weeks? Your numbers aren't going to look good. Like, let's give some context to Geno Smith, where people are like, maybe they should play Drew Lock. Are you guys serious? They played the Browns and Ravens in back-to-back weeks, number 1 and number 2, past DVOA. Spoiler, any quarterback that would have played those defenses would have looked bad. And the week before against the Cardinals, where the Geno Smith didn't play as well, you know who didn't play in that game? DK Metcalf. So Metcalf, fully healthy, not on the injury report, unlike his other wide receiver teammates against the Commanders, third most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. He caught one pass last week for 50 yards. Like, he's still seeing a ton of red zone targets. He has 8-plus targets in 3 of his last 5 games. He leads the Seahawks in receiving yards. Like, that should be a bonus question. It's like, who leads the Seahawks receiving yards this year? People will be like, it's Metcalf? Yes, it is DK Metcalf, and he's missed a game. So I think that people that, if you're worried about Metcalf, I know he's been disappointing. He's been like a wide receiver 4 this year on the season. He's going to bounce back big here. I think that this could be a monster game for Metcalf, so he needs to be in all starting lineups.
Has anybody seen Drew Lock play football? Like, When you said that, I was like, people really can't be saying right? People,
like, there are a lot of takes about Geno Smith being like, oh, he's turned back to a pumpkin. He's not good anymore. It's like, guys, like, he's had really tough matchups the last couple of weeks. Like, give him a break.
The passing touchdowns haven't gone his way. If you look at the deeper metrics, Geno is not playing bad football, okay? So people need to... Woo!
I'm very much with you on Geno versus Locke. That's absurd. I will just say to Metcalf, you know, it's not just the last couple of weeks. Like, he has not finished as a wide receiver 20 or higher at all this season in half PPR scoring. He's been 21, 40, 23, 25, 36, 42, 47. So
how many touchdowns
I get why people
are
frustrated beyond just the last couple of weeks.
How many touchdowns does he have? One?
Two. He has one in week one and one in week four.
Yeah, so that's the thing. That's the thing that's missing is the touchdowns, and they're going to come. So,
okay, where do you have him ranked, Erickson? I forget if you said that.
Wide receiver, it's either 9 or 10.
Oh, my top 10. Shoof.
I mean,
I've got him as a wide receiver too. I've got him as.
I mean, ECR has him wide receiver 12. So I mean, that's really high for a guy that. Like, we talked about, like, hasn't even been close to that at any point this season. So
yeah, Deeper, who's your next must start guy?
The next guy I'm going to bring up here has got to be DeAndre Hopkins. Going against Tampa Bay, they cannot guard wide receivers. Their pass defense has been abysmal this year. Second highest PPR points per target. We've seen that he's getting fed the rock with Will Levis under center. Sixth most receiving yards allowed this season to perimeter wide receivers. It's just another week where DeAndre Hopkins is going to get fed the ball, and he should be versus the secondary.
Hopkins is actually one spot ahead of Metcalf in ECR. He's wide receiver 11. Is that too high, too low, or just right, D-Bro?
No, I've got him in the same ilk. I've got T. Higgins over him, but I'm probably going to have to drop T. Higgins with a hammy issue. I mean, I think the conversation for Hopkins starts anywhere from wide receiver 7 to wide receiver 12 or 13, somewhere in the mid to low wide receiver 1 range.
Where do you have Hopkins, Erickson? Again, he's wide receiver 11 in ECR.
I'm moving him up, so I'm probably moving him right actually behind DK Metcalf, because look, it's a great matchup. He's seeing.
So what's
all the
that wide receiver two for the week?
Like, who else is getting targets in the Titans? Is it going to be Kyle Phillips? Like, is that bad? Because like Treylon Burks has a concussion. Like, he may.
I kind of like Kyle Phillips this week, probably.
3K and DK. 3K and DK.
I know. Man's got rhymes, dropping bars.
Actually, quickly, D-Bro, who would you rather start, DK Metcalf or DeAndre Hopkins?
Oh, I'm going DeAndre Hopkins. I just think the matchup is fantastic. He's going to get fed the ball. And I don't disagree with any of Erickson's points here. And we're going to bring up another Seattle Seahawks wide receiver here in a second. But I think that DK can have a good game. I'm just higher on Hopkins.
Say goodbye to your own start sit dilemmas with Fantasy Pros Start Sit Assistant. Within seconds, you'll know exactly who to play for optimal results each and every week. Leveraging insights from numerous experts, the Start Sit Assistant aligns your lineup decisions with the top minds in fantasy football, giving you a competitive edge. Maximize your lineup's potential with just a few clicks. Head to fantasypros.com/myplaybook and make winning decisions in no time. Erickson, give me your next must start receiver.
Marquise Brown. Playing against the Atlanta Falcons at home. He's got Kyler Murray back. So instead of this like crazy uncatchable target rate that Marquise Brown has experienced this year, he's going to actually see targets within his radius where he can catch the ball. So just a reminder of what we saw with Kyler Murray and Marquise Brown last year. Wide receiver 6 through the first 6 weeks of the season. 8 games played without DeAndre Hopkins last year for Kyler Murray and Marquise Brown. Brown was averaging nearly 12.3 fantasy points per game in half PPR. That was wide receiver 15. Last year. So I think this is a really good spot for Marquise Brown, who has just been getting absolutely fit. I mean, he's so clearly the number one guy in that offense. He's Kyler Murray's boy. So I think Marquise Brown is in a really great bounce back spot. I mean, last week, I think he had like a 40% target share last week. Again, it's Clayton Tune, but Marquise Brown's clearly the alpha in his passing game. And I mean, I expect a lot from this Cardinals offense in Kyler Murray's first game back. Maybe I know you might want to be bearish on Kyler Murray because you're not really sure, but I think this is an opportunity where you want to be a little bit more aggressive and start these guys in a good matchup at home.
He's a wide receiver 3 in ECR. He's wide receiver 26 in half point PPR. That does seem a little low to me. Deeper, where do you have Hollywood?
I've got him at wide receiver 24, but Nico Collins is banged up. I can move him up to wide receiver. I think the conversation should be anywhere from mid wide receiver 2, like wide receiver 18 to 24 for this week. Like, Marquise Brown needs to be a top 24 guy.
I was going to say that like 20 to 22 range seems right. I think 26 is too low. Yeah, Debro, you referenced it or alluded to it that you have a Seahawks receiver coming up. Who you got?
So assuming, and I know that he's on the injury report, so going to give the caveat there, but assuming that he plays, I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is just going to stack another fantastic week this week. Looking at the Washington secondary, since they've quietly been struggling versus slot wide receivers, fifth highest PPR points per game allowed, or PPR points per target allowed to slot wide receivers, tied for the most receiving touchdowns in the NFL allowed to slot wide receivers. So Jackson Smith and Jigba, we have seen the differing usage for him over the last few weeks. ADOT's kind of come up. He's been getting more work in the red zone. He scored some touchdowns. I think assuming health this week, and again, that's the caveat. Is he going to play? Is he healthy? I think Jackson Smith and Jigba needs to be in your lineups.
So DK Metcalf is wide receiver 12 this week. It is all in ECR. Tyler Lockett's wide receiver 22, and JSN is wide receiver 37. Is JSN your favorite relative to where each is individually ranked?
Yes. I've actually got JSN over Tyler Lockett this week. I've got JSN at wide receiver 29. I've got Tyler Lockett at wide receiver 33. So I'm kind of flipped, and I'm higher on this passing attack as a whole. But I think if you're not playing DK Metcalf as the wide receiver one in this offense this week, I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is the two this week.
Erickson, who's your last must-start receiver?
Rashid Shaheed taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Look at what Shaheed's done this year. When they've played defenses that play mostly zone coverage, like Shaheed has really been one of the more productive receivers for the New Orleans Saints. You look at the Vikings, they run mostly zone coverage, top 10 zone coverage rate this season. And we look at some of the DVOA metrics, specifically what the Vikings do against number three wide receivers, fourth in targets to number three wide receivers. So Shaheed is one of these flex guys that you have on your bench. You're like, do I start him this week? Do I don't start him this week? I think this is a week you can flex him. So again, if you don't feel good about like your third running back in your flex spot, you're like, I need more upside. I think Shaheed can deliver an upside play here. And if we're just, you know, looking at trends, last two games Shaheed has gone off, been road games in domes. Rinse and repeat, baby. Rashid Shaheed. Let's go.
Debro, I always say you're the Saints guy. What do you think about Shaheed?
I think he needs to be somewhere hovering around the wide receiver three conversation. I think that he's already flashed a ceiling multiple times this season. I mean, I could easily point to the 100-yard receiving game, but he's also got receiving games of 80-plus littering his resume this year. So I'm a little bit higher on Michael Thomas than Shaheed this week, just looking at where Derek Carr has gone when he's been blitzed and knowing that the Vikings are, if there's anything the Vikings are going to do outside of play zone, they're going to blitz the ever-living heck out of Derek Carr this week. So I think that Michael Thomas gets a little bit of a bump in that respect, but the answer could be just start all your Saints wide receivers this week.
Debro, are you starting Calvin Ridley or Tank Dell?
Oh, good Lord. You're parsing between two of my loves this week. I've got Calvin Ridley only three spots ahead of Tank Dell. So people might be surprised by that, but Tank Dell I've got as a wide receiver 18 this week. I'm going Ridley, but it's close.
Dell, that both guys are lower in ECR than you have them, but Dell is actually higher in ECR by a couple of spots. So that is going against the grain a little bit, but you're obviously aggressive on both of them this week. How about DeAndre Hopkins or Michael Pittman?
Oh, it's Hopkins. I think considering the matchup as well as the target share, and not to say that Pittman's not going to get targets and it's not a bad matchup for him. He's actually taken over the man coverage role or man coverage beater role for the Colts, as well as Josh Downs is banged up. But I'm going to go Hopkins here.
And then on JSN, like I said, he's ranked down in kind of like that wide receiver four range. He's wide receiver 37 in ECR. So who are some names that you're starting him over that might surprise people?
I'll start him over Jerry Jeudy. I'm going to start him, I said, over Tyler Lockett. I will consider, depending on what you need for your team, if it's a case of ceiling, I think he's in the conversation to start over Jordan Addison this week, too.
Okay. Erickson, how about DK Metcalf or Brandon Ayuk?
Ooh, that's a good one.
No, I guess they'll start Brandon Ayuk. Yeah. He's too good.
I had to see where the line of demarcation was for that one.
Couldn't get that aggressive, but obviously
if you said, and even though I'd have to update my rankings, you said Devontae Adams or DK Metcalf, I would probably say Metcalf. Just because the vibes with Metcalf are so much better than Adams is right now. It's a horrible matchup for Adams.
Versus the Jets. Oof.
Yeah.
It's just, and like, I it's tough to like kind of reprogram my brain with Adams because I'm like, well, he has a rookie quarterback, and like rookie quarterbacks are just bad for their receivers. So it's something I'm trying to kind of reprocess. But
and Antonio Pierce, baby, ceiling. He's all about feeding some Josh Jacobs these days.
Yeah, that's
man.
The other thing too. So, and if you look at the Jets defense, like they
beat them on the ground
more through the ground than through the air. So I mean, Adams had one first half target last week.
How about Marquise Brown or Chris Godwin?
I do like Chris Godwin this week. I actually almost thought about making him one of the starts, but I wanted to dive deeper with Shaheed. But when it comes to the target share and the touchdown upside, I think Marquise Brown is still the guy I prefer.
Hollywood, baby. Shaheed
is wide receiver 40 in ECR as of this morning. So same question as I asked Debro for JSN. Who are some names that might surprise people that you are starting Shaheed over this week, Erickson?
I mean, I would probably start him over a lot of running backs that I just don't feel great about. I'm like, oh, this running back, like, why do I want to play this guy? Like, the floor running backs, essentially. Like, I want to play Shaheed over those guys because we know Shaheed can boom off these massive games. I think this is a spot where he can have a big game. Again, against the blitz, if he gets man-to-man looks, you could see him ripping off a big play if it doesn't go to Michael Thomas. So that's why I brought up Shaheed. But in terms of other receivers, I'd probably start him over. Like, I want to start him over Jacoby Myers. Michael Thomas, I would still start him over because I think Thomas is the floor guy. Like four.
I got
40,
two
like,
for you, Erickson. Shaheed or Demario Douglas?
I think it's. Yeah, I would still start Douglas. I start okay. Douglas still.
Shaheed or George Pickens?
I think I'd probably start Shaheed. I'd have to have them in rankings, but like I think Shaheed is just.
I like it
when you have these boomer bust receivers that all kind of look the same. It's like, well, who has a better matchup? And it's like Shaheed. And if you just look on the season, you know, who do you think has more receiving yards this year between George Pickens and Rashid Shaheed? Right, it'd be. Everyone would say George Pickens by like a landslide,
I think it's Shaheed,
right?
Isn't it?
It's 521 Pickens, 501 Rashid Shaheed. It's like almost exactly the same. Okay. And their rankings don't necessarily reflect that whatsoever, even though they have the exact same total amount of touchdowns. So I would go Shaheed.
Let's move to the must-start quarterbacks, tight ends, and defenses / special teamses. Debro, who you got at QB, TE, DST?
Special teams is well for the for this three packs, I'm gonna go start off with Kyler Murray, baby. I'm gonna put the money where the mouth is. Kyler Murray against the Atlanta Falcons, who have faltered in the last few weeks as a pass defense. Since week 5, Atlanta's allowed the fourth most passing touchdowns per game, fourth most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. I think Kyler Murray, he sounds the horn, man. I am back. And he is going to have a fantastic week this week. After Kyler Murray, staying on the teams is, tight ends for me, it has to be Hunter Henry. Looking at the matchup, he played his, highest snap share since week 2. I think the health is better for Hunter Henry and the matchup is there for him. Indy is allowing the second most fantasy points to tight ends, fourth most receiving yards per game. So Hunter Henry is going to be a tight end one for me this week. And as far as the DST, Pittsburgh Steelers, they're going to demolish Jordan Love this week. Since week 5, they are DST 9. They are top 10 in pressure rate, sacks, and interceptions. Getting Cam Hayward back is a boost for this defense. But Joey Porter Jr. has been amazing. Everybody that's not a Yenzer might not be wise to this. Joey Porter Jr. has been the truth. That dude has been amazing. Like, it's kind of crazy to me why he has not been starting the entire year. But now that he's in the starting lineup, he's been shutting guys down. He shut down DeAndre Hopkins and shadowed him when they played the Titans. So can he do the same to Christian Watson? Fully believe he can.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Ravens, if Zay Flowers hadn't gotten to them in the draft, were going to take Joey Porter Jr. And if they had, like, the defense already,
him and Brandon Stevens on the outside, Worm, like, I mean,
I'm glad the Ravens got Zay Flowers, but it's fun to think about if they had gone the
I keep thinking
Joey
about
Jr.
this
route.
Offseason, what I want to see the Steelers do is go out, sign Jalen Johnson, and then you have a cornerback tandem du jour for the next 5 to 6 years with Joey Porter Jr. and Jalen Johnson.
What I want to see is for them not to do that because I don't want to face that in the division. I want to ask about Kyler. So he's currently in ECR QB 12. Some of the names around him, Sam Howell's QB 10, Geno Smith is 11, Russell Wilson's 13, Baker Mayfield 14. Are you starting Kyler over all these guys? The upside's, once he's on the field, the upside's really high.
I've got him as QB 10 this week. What I think is if you look at, I'm gonna bring up a name, and this could be blasphemy to a lot of people. I think there's a pretty good case to start Kyler Murray over Justin Herbert this week. The matchup's not good. Justin Herbert has not looked, I mean, he's looked like a shell of himself. This offense is struggling. And I think the Lions could stomp the Chargers. Erickson, where do you sit with that? Like, would you play Kyler over Justin Herbert? Or am I insane?
No, I'd probably still play Justin Herbert. I still think Justin Herbert's good. And I mean, it still could be a shootout. It's in a dome. Let's get the Lions. They're going to score points on their defense. So
Herbert's QB4 in ECR, so he is ranked very highly. I think that might be a little high, though. If you haven't heard about Whatnot yet, allow me to introduce you to this incredible platform. Whatnot is the world's leading live shopping platform, often described as a unique blend of eBay and Twitch. Here's how it works. Streamers go live to conduct auctions where they sell a wide range of items, including sports cards, jerseys, sneakers, and much more. Recently, in the hobby of sports card collecting, the highly anticipated NFL product Flawless was released. It's been making waves in the hobby, with cards worth six figures or more being pulled on a daily basis. One player I think is going to have a great week this week is Geno Smith, going up against the Washington Commanders, especially after they traded away their pass rushers a couple weeks ago. Geno does great when he's not being pressured. I think the Seahawks passing game is going to have a huge bounce back in week 10. When on Whatnot, you can invest in Geno Smith or any other player you think will do well just by purchasing his card. You can snag a $10 discount on your first purchase by going to fantasypros.com/whatnot and signing up. Don't miss out on this exciting opportunity. Again, sign up when you go to fantasypros.com/whatnot to redeem your $10 discount. The link will also be in the description. Erickson, who's your quarterback, tight end, and defense?
Geno Smith. Look, back-to-back really bad weeks against two of the toughest defenses in the NFL in terms of the pass defense. That's not the case. The Commanders are one of the worst defenses. And if the Patriots had a semblance of life on offense, Mac Jones could have had a productive game and didn't have Jalen Reagor out there catching all the deep balls. Or should I say, dropping all the deep passes. So I love DK Metcalf. We talked about the Seahawks receivers a little bit, and therefore I love Geno Smith. So I know he's been disappointed the last couple weeks. I would go right back to him with confidence at home against the Commanders. I feel really great about Geno Smith. Tight end, third time brought him up, Trey McBride. You know, I didn't feel great about marking him as a sit last week after coming off a 14-target game, but I was like, you know what, the matchup's out there, and he bombed. He was horrible. So I felt good about that, but I'm going back to him now because he's got Kyler Murray, and the matchup is there. This is the first time we've seen Trey McBride in an actual plus matchup for tight ends in the wake of the Zach Ertz injury. The Atlanta Falcons allowing the most catches, second most targets to tight ends this season. So Trey McBride talked about how the team is feeling super energized and reinvigorated with Kyler Murray, with James Conner back in the fold. I really like this Cardinals offense a lot this week to put on a show at home in Murray's first game back. So McBride still had strong peripheral metrics, still had five targets or a 25% target share in Clayton Toon's first start and maybe hopefully last start. So I like McBride this week. So if he gets, especially if he got dropped after a bomb game, I would scoop him up and start him this week. And then my must-start DST is the Seahawks defense. Sam Howell's a turnover-prone quarterback, threw some picks last week against the Patriots, gets sacked a lot, and they throw the ball a ton. So how do you get DST points, sacks, turnovers, and what starts that is dropbacks. It would not surprise me if the Commanders lead the NFL in dropbacks this week in week 10. So that projects well for the Seahawks defense at home.
Erickson, are you starting Geno Smith or CJ Stroud this week?
Let me see. I mean, if I just want to be a prisoner of the moment, I would just start CJ Stroud, but
well, if you want to be right, you're starting CJ Stroud.
I'm going to start Geno Smith.
Stroud is QB7. Geno Smith is QB11 this week, but you're starting Geno, you said?
Yeah, Geno, if you just look at the implied team totals, the Seahawks have the fifth highest implied team total on the slate, and the Texans are not even in the top 15. So,
Debro, do I see this right, that you have Stroud QB5?
Mm-hmm. I sure do. I think the Tank Dell goes off. I think Dalton Schultz, you beat the Cincinnati pass defense, both with deep passing and via the tight end. I think Stroud has another banner game.
Sits. Fellas, we are talking about the week 10 must sits. We are now officially into the second half of the season for everybody. Let's start off where we always do at the running back position. And Erickson, I will start with you. Who is your number one must sit running back of week 10?
Gus Edwards, third time in a row. I'm bringing him up on the show. I am 1-1, hit 2 weeks ago, came up short last week because he scored two touchdowns and went over 50 rushing yards on five carries against a what I thought was an elite Seahawks run defense did not work out that way. But I mean, look, eventually Gus Edwards is not going to find the end zone. Just the fact that the Ravens are scoring rushing touchdowns at an unsustainable rate, they're going to throw more touchdowns eventually, and that's going to hurt Gus Edwards. You're seeing this backfield kind of turn into a three-way committee now. Now they're talking about getting Keaton Mitchell more involved. Justice Hill continues to be involved. So just factoring the matchup against the Browns, it's a tougher matchup overall. I don't expect a lot of scoring. Just look at the total in this game. I think it's like 36-37. Just not a good environment for scoring. And when you look at the Ravens when they played the Browns earlier this year, they were gifted red zone possessions. Like, the Browns kept turning the ball over because they started DTR. So even though they put up 28 points, that 28 points I think is a little bit fraudulent. So I don't think that the Ravens are going to score a ton in this game overall. So if that's not going to happen, then Gus Edwards is going to suffer. So I'm going to be keeping him on the bench this week.
Yeah, I do think the Ravens will kind of win in a similar fashion to the way they did against DTR, because I just do think Deshaun is going to struggle against this defense as well. Like, the Ravens defense, specifically pass defense, does a lot of things that Deshaun Watson doesn't like to go against, at least this new iteration of him. But obviously, the defense of Cleveland is super good. So I totally get that. Debra, we talked, you know, Erickson and I talked a bit about Gus Edwards on Tuesday's show. So I want to get your opinion here too, kind of rest of season. There's so many factors going on with Gus. He's scoring all these touchdowns. He's clearly the top option when they're down at the goal line, but he's not getting a ton of volume. We just had this amazing breakout from Keaton Mitchell. What do you kind of make of Edwards going forward here? Not just in this matchup against what is a very tough defense, but in general, rest of season on Edwards, Debra.
I mean, I look at Edwards as a top 24 running back rest of season. I think that we also need to understand the context of Keaton Mitchell getting the run in garbage time. And the thing that I think we need to also understand is that Gus Edwards has been playing extremely good. Like, all of his tackle breaking metrics have risen massively over the last few weeks. He's top 20 in almost everything I can find as far as efficiency for running backs. So I don't look at Edwards as playing himself out of this role. And if anything, if Keaton Mitchell does earn a more substantial role moving forward, that's not going to come at the expense of Gus Edwards. That comes at the expense of Justice Hill to me. So I don't think Gus Edwards is losing his job. He's still a top 24 back rest of season. And with Baltimore continuing to find itself and playing better as an offense moving forward, top 20, top 24 back moving forward.
We actually do have a poll on Spotify on our most recent episode about Keaton Mitchell. I want to get your guys' opinion on that as well, since he just had such a, you know, stellar kind of breakout game there in week 9. The question that we have posed that everybody should go vote in: will Keaton Mitchell lead the Ravens backfield in fantasy points the rest of the season? Debra, what do you think about that? It sounds like you're saying no, it'll still be Gus.
No, assuming Gus Edwards' health, and I know he's dealing with the toe issue, which he's not on the injury report this week. So again, going back to last week's performance, him getting pulled in that game, if he's not on the injury report this week, then we got to assume that that was just because of the blowout. So again, he's playing good. This is his backfield, assuming health. No, it's easy, Gus Edwards, for me. Yeah,
that was interesting to me, though, because he got his last touch was the first play of the third quarter. They were only up by 14. Mm-hmm. It's not like this was already a 30-point blowout when he stopped getting touches. So I was surprised how early they pulled him, if it's not injury-related. Yeah, but
agreed.
Yeah, that was interesting. Erickson, what do you think about that poll question? Will Keaton Mitchell lead the Ravens backfield in fantasy points the rest of the way?
I mean, I don't think I can confidently say any of these Ravens running, because the Ravens have shown us through years when it's not J.K. Dobbins, like, they're willing to just go with whoever is playing well. And right now, Gus Edwards is obviously playing well. But something I want to point out about the Ravens is they've had a pretty easy schedule, like, to start the year. And they have the most difficult schedule for the rest of the season when it just comes to looking at the average total wins of their second half opponents. So Gus Edwards has been playing with leads. Like, that's why he's been effective. Like, he's had almost like the perfect run. And when they've played good teams, it's been at home. So they've had that advantage. When they fall behind, who's in the game? Is it Gus Edwards? I don't think so. Like, they've shown like more back and forth contests. They like Justice Hill. And now maybe they like Keaton Mitchell because they want an explosive element to get more points, where Gus Edwards is the guy they use to kind of grind out clock as the banger back. So again, if I had to bet on it, I would bet on Gus Edwards, but I'd rather take like, if I can get like longer shot odds on Keaton Mitchell, like that's probably where I would see more value. Just looking at this backfield for the rest of the season.
To Erickson's point, his schedule kind of gets pretty tough as far as when you start week 12. Like, I think you could run on the Browns a little bit better than most people do. And he gets the Bengals after this week, but after that, I mean, weeks 12 through 15 are horrendous. The Chargers, the Rams, who are now a pass funnel, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, that's a pretty rough schedule.
The results of that poll so far, Keaton Mitchell, yes, about 40% of the vote. Yes, he will lead the backfield in fantasy points the rest of the way. About 60% saying no. D-Bro, give me your top must-sit running back.
Prisoners of the moment, man. You hate to see it, man. People just overreacting to one little snippet.
It was an exciting week.
I get
He had four carries in the first half. He had four carries.
Yeah. He had 14 snaps the entire freaking game, but whatever. I digress. I'll move on. My first guy to bring up here is Kareem Hunt. His snaps declined to 29% last week. I think that people need to understand that Jerome Ford is healthier. He got a whopping dose of volume last week. And with Kareem Hunt, he's been one of the most inefficient running backs in the NFL this year. Amongst 45 qualifying running backs, this man's 44th in missed tackles forced per attempt and dead last in yards after contact per attempt. So looking at all of that, as well as you add in Baltimore has the ninth highest stuff rate this year. So I think that we're just going to see another week of Kareem Hunt just running into brick walls. Maybe he sucks at a touchdown because he outpaced Jerome Ford in red zone touches. But if Jerome Ford is healthier this week, which I hope he is, then I think Kareem Hunt has to be a sit. I know he's in that flex conversation for people weekly, but I do not want to put him in my flex spot this week.
Yeah, Hunt's RB32 and half PPR running back rankings. Is that too high, too low, or just right, D-Bro?
I'm looking to see where I've got him. I want to say it's a little bit too high. Kareem Hunt, where are you at?
Well, I mean, I've got him right at RB32. He has to score a touchdown. Like, that's the only thing he's good for. He scored five touchdowns the last four games. Like, that's not... I don't think that's going to keep up, because if he doesn't score, he's going to give you a zero. So,
well, and I've got him at RB32, but I mean, honestly, like, as I kind of continue to look at my ranks, knowing that I'm going to update some more of this, like, I'll play Tyler Algier over him. I will move Devin Singletary over him if Damian Pierce gets ruled out. There's a bunch of guys in that scrum there in that RB3 range, like, even give me Justice Hill over Kareem Hunt. And I feel like they are the Spider-Man gif. Like, they're staring at each other like, You, me. No. So all those guys I would play over Kareem Hunt this week.
Erickson, give me your next must-sit running back.
Brian Robinson is facing the Seattle Seahawks this week. I know Seattle got run over last week by the Ravens, but that's a different team. I don't think that the Commanders are a team that can actually run the football. They can only run it when they're winning in games. They want to throw the ball. You know, having one of the highest pass rates over expectation this season, they're just more than happy to just drop back and throw with Sam Howell. So, look, I'm going to believe that the Seahawks run defense bounces back another week with Leonard Williams in the fold. They're playing at home, and Brian Robinson is still losing out on pass game work to Antonio Gibson. So Seattle jumps out to a 10-0 lead. Brian Robinson might be cooked, like, at that point, and he needs to score. So I would try to get away from Brian Robinson. And I think that he's like a sell high guy, you know, based on the touchdown. And he also fumbled last week too. So again, they didn't go away from him necessarily to Gibson because they still like Brian Robinson as their starter, but again, Gibson at least looked a little bit better to me. So maybe you could see more of a split here up in week 10.
Would you be that surprised, Erickson, if after the fumble last week, if we saw more Chris Rodriguez this week? Because we've already seen that in previous iterations.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's like, you know, we saw Chris Rodriguez play like a couple snaps, like in the red zone, like a couple weeks ago, and then they just never went back to him again. It was just like weird. Yeah. Like, so yeah, it's always possible. It's just like, I would say Brian Robinson is like, he's just really fringe. Like, I don't feel good about playing him, which is why I obviously brought him up here. And again, the matchup's not good. Even though Seattle got run over last week, I think that was more about the Ravens just totally curb stomping the Seahawks defense versus, oh, well, the Seahawks run defense sucks, when every other week this year, they've been lights out.
Robinson is RB26 in our staff rankings. Again, that's half PPR. That's been about his floor in most games this year. He's had a couple games lower, but for the most part, he's been in that, you know, RB2 range most weeks. Do you think that's a fair ranking, Erickson, and you're just avoiding him because you don't believe in the ceiling this week, or do you think that's actually too high?
I mean, I have an RB31, so there are other guys I would prefer over him in those other, like the Tyler Algiers. Like, basically, I would rather play a lot of running back twos on teams with better matchups, like probably play Najee over Brian Robinson, even though I have Warren ranked higher than Najee. Probably play Zach Moss over Robinson.
Kareem Hunt or Brian Robinson?
I'd play Brian Robinson over Kareem Hunt, but that's about it. And like Devin Singletary, I have right next to Brian Robinson, but I don't expect Damian Pierce to play. Open the week with a DNP. That's usually like a pretty grim sign. I mean, you missed the week before. So Devin Singletary, I'll just bet on the touches. I know he's not very good, but he played 75% of the snaps and he plays on a good offense. So I would probably play Singletary over Robinson as well.
If you guys need new tires for your car, Discount Tire is your go-to. They have exceptional service, and you get a 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. They have this really cool feature called Treadwell, which is an online tire buying guide that gives you transparency on tire performance, as well as personalized recommendations based on your location and driving habits. Discount Tire is also the largest independent tire retailer in the country, so it has the biggest selections of tires and wheels. And here's a pro tip from the experts at Discount Tire: you can prevent wear and boost gas mileage by keeping your tires properly inflated. Tire pressure supports the weight of your vehicle and is important to check for safety. So if it's been over a month since you last checked your tire pressure, stop by one of their local stores for a free tire safety and air pressure check. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of. Debra, hit me with your next must-sit running back.
Well, we keep talking about all these flex plays and stuff. I don't want people putting Zach Moss in their flex this week. His role has been vaporized. Jonathan Taylor is fully back. He is the workhorse. He is getting close to bell cow usage. I think the ramp up is done. And if it's not done, then we're going to see Jonathan Taylor playing 80% plus snaps. So looking at Zach Moss, the workload, like I said, has gone away. Last week, only 7 touches, 26 total yards, and he's not getting any pass game usage because Taylor ran all the routes, basically. He's also losing out to red zone work, so there's just no parts or pieces or reasons to even worry about plugging in Zach Moss into your lineups. But I know he has been that good and still a part of this backfield for multiple weeks, even with JT active. So I have to bring him up this week to understand, like, let people know, do not flex this guy. You're looking at a backup running back that should be like in the RB 40 range outside the top 36 running backs this week.
And this is now kind of, you're saying moving forward, it's not just specifically this matchup. It's you should stop playing this guy most weeks.
Yes. Yes.
All right, I think that's fair. Erickson, give me your next must sit running back.
James Cook placing the Denver Broncos. So Cook has obviously been disappointing the last couple of weeks, really hasn't done a ton. The Bills just haven't really shown that they can establish the run game whatsoever. They signed Leonard Fournette a couple of weeks ago. Fournette was inactive this past week. I would expect him to probably at least suit up for this next game. I haven't seen anything about his current status yet, but another week ramped up. I think that just based on how bad the run game is in, I think that the Bills would be willing to try anything at this point. And Cook obviously doesn't have touchdown upside because he doesn't get any red zone usage. So that's something that's always a given. So really the bet on Cook is like, all right, he has to like rip off this like 80-yard touchdown. Like that's what you're betting on when you start Cook every single week. And you look at the Denver Broncos, you're like, okay, well, they've been a defense that's given up a lot of big plays, but that was really all against like the Miami Dolphins and Breece Hall. Like, but besides that, the last couple of weeks, they placed the Chiefs twice. Isaiah Pacheco, look at him. He's an explosive running back. Did really much nothing. So you're looking at the last three running backs they have faced. The top finishes have been RB21, RB16, and RB41. So two of those were Pacheco, and one of those was AJ Dillon. So, I mean, you're hoping that James Cook can be like RB20. And, you know, that's where I have him ranked in that RB back in RB2 range. But I don't think there is a ton of upside unless he rips off that massive run, which just based on the fact that the Bills are going away from the run game, they just can't really run the football. I think that you can probably sit James Cook for another player with probably more upside this week.
He actually is.
What if I told you? Go ahead.
I was just going to say he is exactly RB20 in the expert consensus rankings as well. So you're very much in line with consensus, Erickson. But yeah, I'm with you on that. Go ahead, Debra.
What if I told you I had James Cook ranked as an RB3 this week, Erickson? I don't want to play James Cook. Like, if Uncle Lenny is active, plus, what have they shown any kind of commitment to James Cook? Like, I will play Alexander Mattison over James Cook. Give me Jerome Ford over James Cook. I'll play Deontay Foreman in the Thursday night game over James Cook. I will play Jaylen Warren over James Cook. All of these guys are producing and getting very similar workloads. Like, there's just not a lot of parts or pieces where anything screaming outside of the supposed great matchup, which Erickson hit the nail on the head. Pacheco hasn't even done anything versus this team. And that's a team. Kansas City is trying to get their run game established and they still haven't done anything. Do we think James Cook behind a lesser offensive line is going to do anything? No.
Mm-mm. Last 5 games for Cook in half PPR, he's finished RB 41, 31, 8, 28 and 31. So four of the last 5 weeks, he's not only been an RB3, he's been an RB4, you know, at least one of those times. So definitely a tough stretch for him here.
I think we're still ranking him as an RB2, but just based off of name cachet alone and not the production.
Well, and again, we said this for the last couple of weeks too, like given the teams on bye and the injuries, like you have to rank people somewhere. But I get it on Cook. I mean, there's no reason to be aggressive on him.
I mean,
this week.
I just know a lot of people are going to ask about James Cook. Like, what is, you can just bench him. Like,
yeah, I mean straight up, Erickson, Alexander Madison or James Cook. And I know you have not been a big proponent of Madison either. So. Hit me with
Madison
it.
Madison keeps catching all the breaks because Cam Akers is out for the season now, and I'm not like a Ty Chandler person. So I mean, the Saints matchup's not necessarily great either. But I'll take Dobbs. I'll take Madison. Saints can't stop mobile quarterbacks. So
you play Jalen Warren over James Cook too, right?
I mean, he's way safer. Like he's got a floor, and he's the better running back on his team. And I know that. So yeah,
top 24 running back in 7 of his last 8 games too.
D-Bro, give me your next and last must start running back.
Okay, I know people are going to throw this in my face because Rashad White scored 2 touchdowns. Mine, that's 2 of his 3 only touchdowns of the season. So when I bring this up, I'm going to say temper expectations on Joe Mixon. In the previous 4 games, the Houston Texans have clamped down against the run. Those 2 touchdowns for Rashad White are 2 of only 3 rushing touchdowns over the last 4 games. So good luck chasing that. When you're talking about also since week 5, this run defense is bottom 10 in basically everything you look at. 5th lowest fantasy points allowed via rushing, 2nd lowest explosive run rate, 6th lowest yards after contact per attempt. Now, can Joe Mixon get there on checkdowns? Because Chase is banged up. T. Higgins left practice this week with a hamstring injury, so I don't even know if he plays this week. Could Mixon get there based off of just pulling his best Uncle Len impression and getting checkdowns and not doing much but scoring once? It's possible, but if he does not get into the end zone this week, I'm telling you that Joe Mixon's probably going to be letting you down.
He's RB9 in ECR. Do you have him outside your top 10?
I have him at I've bounced him anywhere between RB11, 12 to being a mid-range RB2. This week.
Okay. Let's do some player comparisons here with the Who Do I Start tool. This is free to use at fantasypros.com/start. Anybody can head there and put in their own start or sit questions, up to 4 players at a time, which is a feature I really like. You can even pick and choose which experts your decision draws from. Again, this is free at fantasypros.com/start. Erickson, would you rather start in the same game Gus Edwards or Jerome Ford this week?
I'm going to start Jerome Ford. Because I'm more confident that, I mean, he led the team in targets last week. He's going to get peppered with targets. So that's where I feel confident about him having a role in this offense. And that, I think, is more sticky snaps, the touches, the targets versus, well, Gus Edwards has to score a touchdown. Like, Jerome Ford doesn't have to score a touchdown to be productive in fantasy. So that's why I'm going to start him.
How about Brian Robinson or Chuba Hubbard?
Coming at me with the Thursday night players worm. I'm going to go with Chuba Hubbard here, but people listening won't know because the game's already over.
And then how about James Cook or Ramondre Stevenson?
I'm just picking on worm because we're not allowed to use Thursday players for our start 6.
The sit show gets out early enough that people will hear this one.
Well, I'm just saying there are plenty of guys I would have talked about Chuba Hubbard as a sit if I could have.
Oh, dear Lord. Here we go. Erickson ranting and screaming at clouds.
James Cook or Ramondre Stevenson?
Oh, Stevenson. Easy. Pick up that white flag, D-Bro. Pick it up, man.
I already did. Of course. Last week, I'm like, man, I don't know about Rashad White. He scores twice. I don't know, man. I'm just done with Mondre. Mondre breaks off like his only big run of the entire freaking season.
To be fair,
I'm like,
he didn't really do anything else in that game besides run.
That's why it's funny because it's like, of course, like D-Bro's like, I'm finally ready to give up. And then you finally see the explosive from Mondre.
I've had faith up until that point. He breaks off long run, and I'm like, oh, just I give up.
Yeah. All right. D-Bro, Kareem Hunt or Zach Moss? They're back-to-back in the rankings. You picked both of them. Who would you rather start?
I'll go Kareem Hunt only because he does still have a red zone role, which Moss does not.
And then also, since Mixon is ranked so high in ECR, I just wanted to ask, who are some other interesting names you would start over Joe Mixon?
I know everybody is so extremely down on Tony Pollard, but the matchup is amazing. Same thing with Bijan Robinson. I'd start both of those guys over Joe Mixon. I know Joe Mixon, but we've talked about Joe Mixon in the last few weeks. He's not playing amazing. The matchups have been extremely good. And I also think it's a red flag that he couldn't take advantage of a Buffalo Bills run defense last week, which everybody has been running all over this year.
Yeah. Let's go to the must-sit wide receivers. Erickson, starting with you.
George Pickens. His targets have been eradicated with Deontay Johnson back in the lineup. Look at the four games that Deontay Johnson has played. George Pickens has a 17% target share in those games. He has finished as wide receiver 51, wide receiver 19, wide receiver 45. And last week, wide receiver 103. Because he couldn't get his feet in bounds. Yeah, it's just not a good spot for George Pickens. He's not the alpha in the targets. He basically just runs go routes on the perimeter and sideline routes, which are just like hard to sustain. I know we talked about Pickens as like a sell high guy when Deontay Johnson was coming back. And now we're starting to see like this is the issue with him in his role in this anemic offense. So it's tough to trust. The matchup also isn't great either. Might catch some coverage from Jaire Alexander. The Packers have been overall pretty good against wide receivers. Seventh best against perimeter receivers. Seventh best overall against fantasy wide receivers this season. So George Pickens. And also he had this like really weird, like he like scrubbed his Steelers stuff on social media, like after just like one bad game where he didn't get the ball enough. And it was like really weird. And they asked Mike Tomlin about it. He's like, pebble in my shoe, man. Like, I don't really care about this. So just like weird vibes overall from George Pickens. So I'm not so sure that this is like, oh, a squeaky wheel game. Like they're going to get him the ball. It's like, they just want to win. And there's a way the Steelers win is ugly. It's not flashy, which doesn't play in George Pickens' favor. So I'm going to sit George Pickens.
He said pebble in my shoe. That sounds super annoying, actually. That doesn't sound like nothing. I've never heard that phrase before as like to mean that means nothing. But
I mean, it sounds like nothing to me. I don't know.
I mean, it's a classic Tomlinism. It's just I feel like you're walking along and you have a rock in your shoe. That's super annoying.
Well, he didn't say a rock.
Does that mean that he's going to get the ball to George Pickens? I guess this is just a better way to
I'm just confused by it.
I mean, if we're going to take the Tomlinism a little bit further, then if anything, it should be a little more worried about Pickens. If he is the pebble in the shoe, then what do you do with the pebble? You just take the shoe and empty it out and forget about it.
Because it's annoying. It's nothing.
You put the pebble in the shoe on the bench. He's not even out there.
Pickens is wide receiver 33 this week in ECR. Erickson, where do you have him?
I have Pickens. I mean, I could probably move him down probably even because he's already like been like a boom or bust receiver.
Let me change the question. Are you starting him at any point as long as Deontay Johnson is healthy, or is this more specifically about this week's matchup?
I mean, he has one good game with Deontay Johnson playing and he's played four.
Yep.
So it's like the odds are, especially given the matchup, that this is probably not going to be a trend that continues favorably for him. There are other like George Pickens versus Gabe Davis. Rather start Gabe Davis. He's got Josh Allen, and it's like they could both basically do the same. They do the same thing every single week. They boom or bust.
I'll give you a good one, Erickson. Michael Thomas or George Pickens. I'm going to start MT over George Pickens this week.
I mean, at least I know MT is going to get me 4 for 40. Feel confident about that.
Pickens will get you one for 22.
Yeah, like maybe he got just one pass. So, yeah. I guess I'll take MT.
Let's move on from Pickens. D-Row, give me your first must-sit wide receiver.
It's got to be Amari Cooper. And this comes down to if we think, and I do believe, that Deshaun Watson is going to struggle, foreshadowing, then Amari Cooper, his wide receiver one, is going to struggle as well. Baltimore has been a shutdown pass defense. Yes, I said it, Worm, all season. Baltimore allowing the lowest PPR points per target and only two receiving touchdowns the entire season to boundary wide receivers. Well, that's Amari Cooper's deal, so goodbye, Amari Cooper. You're not doing much of anything this week.
Yeah, I said this. I alluded to this earlier when we were talking about Gus Edwards, but like, I think that people are putting way too much stock in the fact that the Browns had DTR out there the first time they faced this Ravens defense. This Ravens defense makes every quarterback look like a fifth round rookie in his first career game. I mean, I think they're going to put Deshaun Watson in an absolute blender this entire
Deshaun
game.
Deshaun might just all of a sudden, the shoulder is acting up a little bit.
Listen, these guys are talented enough that they could prove me wrong, but I will absolutely not be starting a single Brown outside of maybe Jerome Ford in any lineup this week. I just wouldn't trust any of them.
I disagree.
All right, Erickson, give me your next must-sit wide receiver.
Jacoby Myers. Somebody has to stop this man from scoring all the touchdowns. Devontae Adams needs to get his. So
I was like, Erickson, are you going to be that hero?
So I talked about Myers last week, and of course he scores a rushing touchdown, like a wide receiver scoring a rushing touchdown on like an end around play. Look, he's playing the Jets. It's the worst matchup you could ask for wide receivers. Myers has been running supernova hot when it comes to touchdown production this year. But last week he had 5 targets. He has yet to eclipse 40 receiving yards in both starts by Aiden O'Connell this season. I mean, this game is so gross. Raiders, Jets. How did we get this game on Sunday Night Football?
The entire primetime slate is gross. It's Bears, Panthers, Jets. Raiders, Jets.
The schedule makers thought it was going to be Jimmy G versus Aaron Rodgers when this was first made.
I'm not even sure that's that interesting.
No, it's exactly what
I'm not saying it is.
What happened
with
the Broncos last year? It was just like they thought Russ was going to be good, so they put the Broncos on all the primetime games.
When are the schedule makers going to learn that they're bad at this? They don't know which teams are going to be good.
This is why they put in the clause that they can flex, but this is the last week that they can't flex. So, like, now after this week, we're never going to see the Jets on primetime.
This week and just chose not to. I might have read that wrong.
I'm going to sit him.
You know that it's a problem when Tennessee Titans end up on so many island games every single year, and then we're all like, stop!
They're terrible.
My eyes are burning.
We've been robbed of a lack of Titans Jaguars.
Dude, we also
night
have
action.
Colts Patriots as an island game this week. The Germany game.
I can't defend that one.
Germans thought they were getting Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and they're getting Mac Jones.
Best primetime matchup this week is Broncos Bills, which is like not even that good, but if that's the best one out of four, that's a problem. Who are we talking about? Jacoby Myers, Debro. What do you think about Myers? He's wide receiver 35 in ECR.
I don't want to start him. I'm sorry. I'm with Erickson. There has to be somebody's got to put a halt to this, and I'm going to stand behind Erickson. He's my hero this week.
We're digging our heels in. All right, Debro, give me your next must sit wide receiver.
It's Jordan Addison, man. And I understand that he's going to get the target volume. I get that. Josh Dobbs is a fantastic story. We got to talk about the fact that the New Orleans Saints are not allowing anything to perimeter wide receivers. Second lowest PPR points per target. He's going to run about 74% of his routes against Marshawn Lattimore and Paulson Adebo, who are both allowing below 80 passer ratings in their coverage this year. The Saints have given up production to the slot. It's not where Jordan Addison's going to operate, so you got to worry about Jordan Addison. I get if you're going to start him based off of volume as like a wide receiver 3 or a flex and stuff, but if your expectations are any higher than that, you're probably lying to yourself.
When we're at the point where Jefferson is fully healthy and back, and obviously we've got Dobbs now established as the starter, what do you think your weekly ranking of Addison will be at that point?
Depending on matchup, somewhere between wide receiver 23 and wide receiver 36, depending on the matchup.
Okay, that seems about reasonable. Erickson, where do you have Addison this week? He's wide receiver 28 in ECR.
Yeah, I'm in line with ECR. I'm a wide receiver 27. Again, the matchup's not great, but I just think Jordan Addison's good. So that's like one of these things where I can only rank him so low. And even if it's a lull game, like he's still the number one receiver. And I like Josh Dobbs a lot in this matchup. So,
all right, Erickson, sticking with you. Give me your last must-sit wide receiver.
Courtland Sutton, again, fading guys on unsustainable touchdown streaks because Courtland Sutton just continues to twist the knife into my arm every single week because he keeps scoring touchdowns and he gets like 3 targets. So that's a reminder. You got 3 targets last time we saw the Denver Broncos play. Denver leads the NFL in passing touchdown percentage at 84%. 84% of their touchdowns scored have been through the air. That's not going to continue to be the case against the bad Buffalo Bills run defense with Javonte Williams. The workload that he got before the bye week, them coming out of the bye week, he's fully healthy. Like, they're ready to feed juggernaut Javonte, in my opinion. So I think that's going to get away from Courtland Sutton. And when you actually look at who's been the target leader with Jerry Jeudy also healthy, it's been Jeudy. Like, he leads the team with 23% target share, 45% air yard share, and healthy games played. So I get the Bills' secondary hasn't been good, but I don't think that the Broncos are necessarily the team that's like, oh, like, we're going to throw all over Buffalo. We're going to head up to Buffalo and just throw all over the place. I don't think that's what they want to do. I think they want to give the ball to Javonte, and I think that's just going to hurt Courtland Sutton.
I'm not as in the weeds as you guys on a week-to-week basis in terms of some of the advanced metrics and just general, like, diving deep into the stats. But I am generally somebody who believes in the numbers and follows the, you know, percentages and analytics. And obviously, that's kind of a very surface-level way of describing it. But I preface all that to say maybe he's just a guy that they see as having good matchups in the red zone. Like, he scored a touchdown in 6 out of 8 weeks this season. They've targeted him even more than that when they're in that area of the field. Like, do you think there's anything to just, like, he and Russell Wilson have a good connection for when they're have a chance to score a touchdown?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's it's obviously why
why can't he keep it up?
Because it's not something that's super sustainable. Like, is he going to catch a touchdown every single week when he has 3 targets? Like, that's just a bad bet to make.
If those 3 targets all come in the red zone, doesn't that up his chances? I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but I mean, I don't think he's going to score a touchdown in 75% of his games like he has so far this year, but I think he can still score them more than any other receiver on this team.
I mean, that's possible, but I also think that why are they throwing the ball so aggressively in the red zone? Because they had injured running backs. Like, again, this Bills defense, how do you attack them? You attack them through the ground game, not through the air necessarily. So
should we come up with a second bet that we can't even determine what the loser's going to have to do, like Zay Flowers versus Demario Douglas?
We're leaving that up to I want to see people in the comments, because so far I'm winning. Demario Douglas is outscoring Zay Flowers by a significant margin because Zay Flowers basically did nothing last week. So
I'm still waiting on my Zach Ertz cash to get here. when is that coming, Erickson?
Well, speaking of Zay Flowers, D-Bro, who's your next must-sit wide receiver?
Yeah, I think we just have to be real. And I know Erickson talked about Cortland Sutton plunging the knife into his arm. Let's keep it real here. That knife is not in his arm. It's in the back of his ribs. He broke off the blade. It's simmering around. It's floating around inside. So just to give context about how salty Erickson is. But yeah, I'm going to sit Zay Flowers this week. I know I've been massive on Zay Flowers, but we've seen the usage kind of tick down since week 8. His target share has dropped to 11.7%. His air yard share has dropped below 10%. Mark Andrews has been getting more work as the clear number one option. And if you look at the Browns, yes, they've been mere mortals against perimeter wide receivers since week 6. So there's a path here, considering they've given up the 12th highest PPR points per target. But we also have to remind ourselves, Denzel Ward and Martin Emerson are extremely good cornerbacks. Both these guys are giving up an 80.6 pass rating. Emerson's at 40.8 this season. So I just don't see a big day for Zay. I think Baltimore is going to keep the ball on the ground, stay away from the strength of the Cleveland Browns defense, which is their secondary, and just run the dang ball all week. All game, excuse me.
4 targets, 3 catches, 56 yards in that first matchup with the Browns did Zay Flowers have. Let's go to our Who Do I Start tool, Erickson, George Pickens, or the guy you're betting on, Demario Douglas.
Demario Douglas. He's got a good matchup against the Colts. I know Kenny Moore is just like this unstoppable force, but they're throwing in his direction, so he's getting targeted at least. So I'll take my chances with Demario Douglas. Like, George Pickens, I think that his prop is like a 44.5 receiving yards, something like that. It looks really low, but it's like, unless this guy gets 80 yards, he's going to get 0. Under. So again, I'm thinking like a clean sweep with all these player props. So follow me on the Betting Pros app. But yeah, under on George Pickens receiving yards this week, and I will go with Demario Douglas.
What's the link for that? Is it bettingpros.com/Cortland Sutton? I forget the link, Erickson.
Andrew Erickson, A. Erickson.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. I got confused there for a second.
Erickson, Jacoby Myers or Jerry Jeudy?
I like Jerry Jeudy. He's the target share leader on the Broncos, and yep. I think that he gets more targets this week than Sutton and Jacoby Myers.
How about Cortland Sutton or Zay Flowers?
I would take Zay Flowers in that situation.
Debra, who are you taking in that one?
I'm higher on Sutton this week. I'm going to take Sutton in that. And just to double down with Erickson here, I know I'm giving him a lot of crap on this show, but I will take Demario Douglas over George Pickens. So book it.
How about Pickens or Flowers, Debra?
I'll take Flowers. I don't have a lot of faith in Pickens to do much of anything. Deontay Johnson has reaffirmed that he is the clear, and it is not even close. Like, Pebble, you could do whatever you want to in that shoe, baby. It does not matter. Deontay Johnson is the wide receiver.
It's weird how, like,
team.
Deontay Johnson commands, like, so many targets, like, every year of his career, and then he comes back and he kind of suddenly commands all these targets again. It's crazy.
So
insane. It's like people would have known that was coming. Oh my God.
So D-Bro, are you starting Deontay Johnson over Amari Cooper then?
Oh yeah. Deontay Johnson, I've got him ranked as a top 20 wide receiver this week. He's right next to DeAndre Hopkins and a little foreshadowing, Calvin Ridley.
All right. And how about Jordan Addison or Gabe Davis?
I'll play Gabe Davis. I get the volume reasons for to play Jordan Addison, but I just the matchup is extremely freaking tough.
All right, Erickson, give me your must-sit quarterback, tight end, and defense slash special teams.
All right, combo here for Packers players. Jordan Love sitting him. The Steelers defense has a bad secondary, but I don't think Jordan Love can actually take advantage of it. And if you look at the Steelers' last four quarterbacks they have faced, Lamar, Trevor Lawrence, Stafford, they have all been bad. They've allowed 12.2 fantasy points per game to the last four quarterbacks that they have faced. So, I mean, you're hoping you can get like 20 points from your quarterback. I mean, the fact that Jordan Love has been scoring fantasy points at all is like miraculous because of just how bad he has been in real life.
Smokescreen.
So, Jordan Love, I want to sit him. And same thing with Luke Musgrave. He delivered last week. It was a good matchup against the Rams. Not a good matchup against the Steelers. Fourth fewest fantasy points allowed to tight ends. And this target share in Green Bay is so flat. Like every week, everyone gets four targets. So it's a matter of like who's going to score the touchdown. And if I had to put my chips on anybody, it would be Christian Watson just because the Steelers get beat by explosive plays. So that's who I would bet on scoring, not Luke Musgrave after he scored last week. So I'll sit him. And then the Atlanta Falcons, their defense has regressed. They don't have Grady Jarrett anymore. And he was kind of like the engine to their defensive line. So on the road against Kyler Murray, I think this Cardinals team is going to like show up and play pretty well with their quarterback back. I think they're re-energized. So just don't really want any part of the Falcons DST that's just kind of been mid this season.
Jordan Love or Deshaun Watson this week?
Oh, God.
I have to make this decision actually in a super flex league. So
I would start Jordan Love because he finds ways to score fantasy points somehow, some way. And again, like I said, like I think Christian Watson could have a big play and that might be enough to just get him over the hump with whatever Deshaun Watson does.
Yeah. D-Bro, I'm going to ask you the same question before you give me your picks because Deshaun Watson is your pick. Are you starting Deshaun Watson or Jordan Love?
Oh, good Lord. I don't want either, but I'll go with Jordan Love. He just finds a way to post relevant enough fantasy scores over the last few weeks. And Deshaun Watson's running hot, man. He's had great matchups, and this is definitely not this. Like, so, yeah, he's my QB sit of the week, man. I mean, looking at like what he's done, I don't think it's – it's been a lot of smoke and mirrors, good matchups. If you look at amongst 35 qualifying quarterbacks, this man's outside the top 20 or the top 15 quarterbacks in passing grade, yards per attempt, and adjusted completion rate. You marry that with the Baltimore Ravens over the last 4 weeks, allowing the second fewest fantasy points via passing. I don't need part of Deshaun Watson. Continuing with the guys that I'm sitting here, Cade Otton. I know he had a monster week last week. If you picked him up off the waiver wire, kudos to you. Do not play him this week, though. Tennessee Titans are shutting down all things tight end related. 12th lowest receiving yards a game allowed to the position. 5th fewest fantasy points per game allowed. And they are the only defense in the NFL to not allow a receiving touchdown to tight ends this season. Sit Cade Otton. And as far as the defense, I know I brought them up last week, but people need to keep hearing this. Do not play the Buffalo Bills. You need to drop them. They are not a DST that you need to be worried about. The injuries have taken a toll on this defense, whether you want to talk about Matt Milano, you want to talk about Tre'Davious White. Since week 5, even bringing this over to the nerddom out of the real football takes and things like that. DST 24 in fantasy. No, don't play them. They're averaging 5 fantasy points per game, man. Like, they've been bad. Drop them. Do not even consider picking them back up. No.
Deshaun Watson or Will Levis?
Will Levis.
All right, we'll get out of there Will on Levis. That. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. For D-Bro and Erickson, I am Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again next time. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.